You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn here with Ross Briley to look ahead to the best of Sunday's action. Got racing at Sandown to look forward to on Sunday, as well as Fosslast domestically. Limerick and Navan over the Irish Sea. We're going to focus on one contest at Navan and three at Sandown in just a few moments. But first things first, good afternoon, Ross. Well, good morning, Ross Briley.
Good evening, Alex Dunn.
Time of day.
It's whatever it
just
is.
Morning.
It's just one big grey lump of time, isn't it?
It is, actually.
That's winter for you. But, it does. I haven't quite adjusted.
No, we're recording this prior to Saturday's racing, which starts at 10 past 12.
Yep.
And all of a sudden it's kind of like remember the summer when things started at 2 o'clock and you could have a leisurely morning?
Those are the days.
Not anymore. But with the slightly gloomier weather comes jump racing, Ross.
It does.
And I think that's something to look forward to. Do you?
Is that a leading question? Eventually.
Eventually.
I've enjoyed. There's been some fantastic. Cheltenham in particular, the first Cheltenham meeting of the season was incredible. There'll be plenty more good meetings like that. But it's just starting to click into gear once we have the Paddy Power meeting and the Hennessy, and then suddenly it'll be Christmas, and then we'll have January. I'm not sure what January is.
No.
But
I know what you mean.
I'm not entirely sure what January is as a month. It's just a placeholder, isn't it?
Very vanilla.
It's a stopgap.
Yeah.
There'll be plenty to come, but the flat season ends on Saturday, today, whenever you listen to this.
Yesterday. Well, yeah, it will have been and gone.
Yeah, it has gone. It's over.
Yeah.
And now I can, pay my respects. Have a few things from the buffet, chat to a few people I haven't seen for a few years, talk about, I remember when the flat season was young and virile. But now he's gone. Life will never be the same, will it?
Until
next year.
Until April.
When we go through it once again.
Exactly. One person who won't be going through it all again, lovely segue there, is Hayley Turner.
No.
It is her final day riding today. And although I think it's fair to say that the last few years haven't been fantastic for her.
No.
The previous few years had been. And she'll be remembered as one of the leading female jockeys.
Surely the leading female jockey. Yeah, it seems a long time ago that she was winning Group 1 races, and 4 years is quite a long time in a career that has a cut-off point, as sporting careers tend to. And fair play to her for going and trying something else, because it's quite easy in life to just keep doing the same thing over and over again, because if you go and do something else, it might not work out either. So why not just sit here and carry on? She could have easily eked out a living. She's, I very much doubt she's on the breadline. But no, she fancies a new challenge, and all power to her. Whatever she does, I hope it goes well. I mean, she's earned $400,000 in prize money this year. You know, her percentage plus riding fees and stuff. I know, obviously, it's not that simple. But
no. But still,
but she's going all right.
Who's perceived to be not having a fantastic season, that's not bad, is it?
No, it's not too bad. No, it's not quite the heights of, you know, she managed to rake in almost $1 million in 2011. Mm. So that was her peak. Pretty much, but that's fine. Everyone has a peak, and she's going on to other things. This is the thing. People say, she could keep going. She could keep going, and she's probably got more in her. But
well, you look at
do anything really.
So some say Seb Sanders, for example.
Yeah,
a jockey who did hit the heights, and he's still sort of sticking around. But again, he's sort of labouring, if you like.
Yeah.
Whereas Hayley Turner's just gone, I think that this is enough now.
She's 32. She's been riding for 15 years. She's been riding for all those. She's almost been riding for as long professionally as she hasn't been, really. Or, not professionally necessarily,
but
under rules. So, no, fair play to her, and good luck. Like I said, it's been a few years since the likes of Dream Ahead and Margot did, but...
she's done an awful lot for women in the sport as well, hasn't she?
Yeah, well, yeah, she has, which is...
She's shown that it can be done.
Yeah, which shouldn't necessarily have to be her burden, as
it
were.
No, it shouldn't, not at all.
And you would hope that some sort of mantle has been passed to an extent. No, as I said, fair play, and I look forward to seeing what she does with the rest of her life.
Absolutely. Right, we'll move on to Sunday's racing then. Cracking stuff for a Sunday, isn't it?
It's not too bad at all. Not too bad at all. That's, I suppose that's the major upside of the jump season, is that the Sundays do tend to be a little bit more enticing.
Absolutely. We'll start with Sandown's 225, okay, which is a Future Stars chase, a listed intermediate race over 3 miles. We've only got four runners going to post, and on official ratings, Coney Gree, miles clear, of course, won the Cheltenham Gold Cup last year, makes his seasonal reappearance here. Will take all the beating, but I've got to say he's up against three really nice, well, at least two really
nice
types.
Horses, yeah.
Seven Sky is no back number in a lot of races. In this one, he probably will be, but it's not a bad little race, considering there's only four runners. I looked at this originally and thought, that should just be a walkover. I don't think it'll be that easy.
No, I agree. The Future Stars chase, obviously including last year's Cheltenham Gold Cup winner, is somewhat of an anomaly. But because, obviously, he didn't... Because of the way Coney Gree's career's gone, you know, he didn't win a novice chase till the back end of November last year, which means that he's still... qualified as a novice this year, so or at least for the next month or so. Obviously, he's an incredible horse. They've done an incredible job with him. I get the feeling. Well, I say they've done an incredible job with him. I get the feeling that if you just let him get on with it, he'd do it anyway. Mm. He just seems to love it that much. Love a bold front runner as well. The only interesting thing with Coney Gree this year is everything went so right last year. He beat everything put ahead of him. It'd be interesting to see if he can start off at that level again, because people are going to be a bit more wary of him. They're going to be a bit more aware. I suppose it's like if you're under 20, if you're a footballer and you break through and you have that season where you score 15, 20 goals. Harry Kane last year, people go, God, I don't know how to deal with him. Then over the summer, and then you come back and people go, ah.
And it could just
be... We know what to expect with
someone, say, Paul Nicholls in one of the bigger races just puts in a rag to front run alongside, and that could be it.
Yeah, it's a different...
All of a sudden, instead of being well-respected, you are the one that people go out to beat.
Yes.
And that's a very different pressure, isn't it?
Definitely. Admittedly, it's more of a pressure for humans, psychologically.
Yeah. Do you think the horse knows?
No, but there's humans. There's plenty of humans involved, isn't there? There's going to be more pressure on the trainer, more pressure on Nico de Boinville as well. It's going to be very interesting to see how he gets on this season, because it's a bit of a different task for him. That said, he's so far we can't doubt him, because he's beat everything that's put in front of him. As you said, the other two are decent. Southfield's Theatre is maybe not as strong in a finish as I would like. A couple of times last season, he was maybe worried out of it late on. Puffin Billy could be a bit of a better jumper, but I get the feeling that things haven't quite gone to plan with Puffin Billy. So he'd be interested as a forecast option, I think. But
okay,
it's not really a betting race. It's more a watching race. But I'm fascinated to see how people approach Coney Gree this season.
But you think he'll win this?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Next up is the 3 o'clock from Sandown. It's a handicap hurdle over 2 miles. We've got nine runners going to post here. We'll start here, Ross, with Winner Massago of Alan Kings, a horse that I was actually really keen on last year when winning at Kempton, then went on to fall at Aintree, when actually running a decent enough race in a grade one, and that wasn't a race he was expected to do especially well in. But the way that he travels through a race, he maybe comes across as classier than he is. But that said, for all this is a class three race, it's not the strongest one you'll ever see.
No, it's not. He was impressive at Kempton. And as you said, Aintree, he was way outclassed. He was sent off 25-1. It was a very strong race. But you get the feeling they were just kind of testing the water to see what they had.
And he wasn't disgraced.
No, he didn't. Obviously didn't come off... You know, falling is pretty much the worst possible result for him.
Yeah.
But he starts life at a much more reasonable level this time around. And he's from a yard whose horses have started the season in pretty good nick as well. So There would have to be plenty of respect for Winamassego. And as he said, the rest of them, he struggled to find anything rock solid in opposition. Red Devil Stars been in pretty good nick as well, beaten behind Big Martha at Fontwell last time we saw it back in October. That was its first run since March, and it probably was running in better races back in the spring, so he's not completely out of it, although he has to prove he can really knuckle down and win. I think the big danger is going to be Songsmith, but again, he's not one I'd really trust to knuckle down and win, especially at this kind of track as well. Mm. I think he could get outstayed at that stiff finish. I think Winamassego is the most progressive type, and there was nothing in here that particularly worried me in terms of form opposition. Just the question mark is 213 days of the track. It's his first run back. But to be fair, at this time of year, I'd rather be... The vast majority of horses are needing the first run back. That little bit of class might well get him through.
Okay, Winamassego the pick there. The 3.35 from Sandown is the next race we're going to look at. It's a veterans handicap chase over 3 miles. We've got 8 runners going to post here, Ross, and some old favourites in this lineup. Mm. It's hard to know with some of these veterans races who's maintained the enthusiasm, because the likes of, say, Pino de Rey been running at such a high level since his national win, and it's sort of hard to know.
Well, he'll be knackered, won't he?
Yeah, is it? But is it that he's just been, you know, they've been tilted at windmills, if you like, or is it that he is just getting a little weary now?
He's probably just getting a bit,
Senko, he's had for so many in this race.
Yeah, quite a few in with chances, though. Roelka Defarge was well-backed at Cheltenham, went behind What's Happening last time out. That was a very good race, a much stronger race than this. Mm. Now, again, he's a bit in and out, and he's run some pretty shocking races around here at Sandown. In the past, admittedly, much better contest than this. So I'm still a bit wary of Roelka Defarge. He pops up with a great performance every now and then, but he doesn't necessarily back it up. Obviously, there's going to be huge respect behind Arkan, who comes from a yarder in very good form. A winner here at Sandown in the past as well, so plenty of respect for him. I take a chance, though, with Fine Parchment. It's coming off a 588-day break, but I have absolutely no problem with these kind of horses coming off those kind of breaks at the moment. Charlie Mann's had a few winners in the past few weeks, and for a yard who don't really go through bursts of form anymore, that's very much of interest. He's got Sandown form. He won here at this track, off this mark, back in 2013. Again, we haven't seen much of him, but he starts life back off 130. And with these horses, you've just got to get them fit. If they're coming back off the F2, you've got to get them fit first time out. Because races, they're just too competitive. You can't. It's to their detriment if they're not.
And also, with Fine Parchment, it's not like he's going to have, you know, great aspirations this season. He's a 12-year-old. They've got to get him fit sooner rather than later.
Exactly. This could be his he's going to win. He might win one decent handicap chase, and this could be it. I'll go with Fine Parchment and chance him off the back of an absence.
Okay. We'll move to Navan then for the 250, the Fortria Chase, which is a Grade 2 contest over 2 miles. There's another really good contest at Navan earlier in the card as well, the 140 over hurdles. But we're going to focus on this chase race. There are 6 runners, Ross. You could probably give a squeak to all 6. The outside of the field likely to be Fleming Star, but of course, if gone back a few... He was very, very high class. And there are some lovely types in here, the kind of horses that you'd love to own. But which one's going to win this?
Yeah, I would imagine there'd be plenty to... most people would be looking at Special Tiara, who ended last season in fantastic form. Again, he's another one who's been under the radar in these kind of events for a few years, but he's won 2 Grade 1s, to be fair to him. He sprang a bit of a surprise at Aintree a couple of years ago, then went completely off the radar. 2014 was a nightmare for him, but last year was much better. He won at Kempton and then he won at Sandown, and apart from dodging bullets, you know, he had the most solid 2-mile form in the book last season. But again, there's a few horses in here who I think could be interesting up against him, in particular at this track. Both Twin Light and Hidden Cyclone really do have an excellent record here. Hidden Cyclone's probably coming up against slightly weaker horses than he's used to contesting. He's become a bit of an odd one these days. He does all sorts of things now. He runs on the flat. He won at Leopardstown on the level in July. He runs over a variety of trips. I'm not entirely sure Hidden Cyclone quite knows what he wants to do either. So I'm going to go with Twin Light, who we haven't seen since disappointing about 194 days ago at Punchestown, but he won this race last year off a similar absence and disappointment. It's pretty much a carbon copy of what they did last season. And at this level, he's very hard to beat. So I think Twin Light is the one to side with.
Okay, Twin Light, the pick in Navan's 250. Should be a great day of racing on Sunday, Ross. Enjoy it all, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Thanks, buddy.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.